Y'all doing good? Hallelujah. Good to see some of you I haven't seen in a week or so, and good to see your faces. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you got your Bibles or your phone or whatever you're reading on tonight, go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I believe God's got a word for us tonight. I believe God's got a word for us tonight. Hallelujah. How many know the Word is alive? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the very thing that can pierce through your soul and your spirit. It can get down to where the rubber meets the road. It can take out some of the things that you don't want to put in some of the things that you do want. And God's Word is powerful that way. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about some things tonight that may be very familiar, but how many know every once in a while you need a reminder? Now, men in particular, it's like I saw this meme on Facebook or whatever said, wives, now quit bugging your husbands. You ask him to do that. It's only been 6 months, right? Quit bugging him, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, we need to be reminded, and we need to be, putting ourselves right in line with what God is saying, glory to God. I believe tonight God's got a word for us. What do I mean by that? I mean a right now word. I'll give you a testimony on that. I was going this weekend the last few days with an expectation, and there were some things on my heart, and I just happened to get in a conversation last night with a couple of ladies who pastor in Portland, and man, she just started boom, 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 giving me the very things that I was talking to God about, and just giving me scripture, and just, oh man, I know this is the Lord. I know this is a divine appointment. I know this is exactly what I need to hear right now. And it was a confirmation of some of the things that God had been speaking to me, but he'd been speaking to me through other people. It's just awesome. God is so good. He's so awesome. Hallelujah. Blessed. Everybody say blessed. How many? This is a really hard question. I want you to think about it for a while and then maybe answer me. But how many would rather be blessed than cursed? Right? I mean, that's a no-brainer. I want to be blessed. Right? Well, if we want to be blessed, we should investigate what it is that's required for us to be blessed. And then what's required for us to stay blessed. Right? Come on. I mean, I don't want to be just blessed today and then tomorrow be cursed and then the next day be blessed and the next day be cursed. I just want to be blessed all the time. Did you know that in Christ we're already blessed? But there are certain requirements or certain things in the Word of God that dictate these are the laws of blessing. And so I want to operate in those laws. Lord, you show me how to do it. Now watch this. Oftentimes, if you're like me, it's like I see the picture. I don't need the directions. Putting kids' toys together is a great example. You get a bike and it's all in boxes and all in pieces. I don't need those stinking directions. I know what a bike looks like. And then you put it all together and something doesn't work and all of a sudden you got to go, oh, I got to tear this apart and read the directions, right? I think some of us are, listen, I'm blessed. Bless God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And we quote that and we say, I'm really blessed. And we should be saying that, but what if we're disqualifying ourselves from being blessed because we're not doing what's required to stay blessed? Hello? I mean, the first thing, if we want to be blessed, we have to know that God wants us to be blessed. And that God's not a respecter of persons. In other words, God's not saying, well, I'm going to bless this one, but I'm not going to bless that one. And yet, in myself, over the years, and, and even it comes back to me sometimes, I think, well, you know, God blesses that person, and they seem to be, you know, God just blessing them in whatever area, and He's blessing them because they have it more together than I have it together. Or, I don't deserve it as much as they deserve it. Right? And some of that comes from you hearing the message over and over again, maybe growing up, that you're not as good as another person. Has anybody ever felt that? Right? Have you ever felt that? Remember high school? Right? You remember high school and you're looking at everybody else at all... I'm not going to go there, Marty. But watch this. And you're looking at everybody else and you're looking at those people and you think, man, they've got it all together and I just want to disappear because I obviously don't. Then you find out later they didn't have it together at all. They were just faking it as much as you were. But the reality is in the things of God, we've got to understand that God wants us all blessed. And we're all qualified to be blessed because we're in Christ. But watch this. Let's go through a few things. The first psalm. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many know it's hard sometimes not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? In other words, where are we getting our information from and where are we basing our opinions from? If we want to be blessed, we need to ensure that we're not getting our information from the wrong source. Come on. What does that mean? I must be careful on what I'm hearing and what I'm listening, you know, what I'm watching, what I'm looking. If it doesn't build our faith, but it's building our fear, then we're walking in the wrong counsel. So it's very, very, very important that we begin to guard what we're hearing. You want to be blessed? You can't listen to everything. Sometimes you even have to give up some of the friends that you have because they're giving you the wrong counsel. Don't just let anybody or anything speak into your life. Don't let anybody else tell you who you are. Only let God tell you who you are. Right now, in our country, there is a spirit of division that is bigger and stronger than anything I've ever seen in my life. And it's obvious to me. It's obvious to anybody. Because if it's not this, then the news has something tomorrow that's going to be divisive. And if that's not working, the next day there'll be something else that's divisive and it's ridiculous. But the thing that's causing the division is that we're listening to the wrong voices. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Come on. I want to be blessed, so I need to listen or be particular about what I'm hearing. Glory to God. I found that if you want peace in your life, shut the TV off. Don't watch the news. Yeah, but I need to know what's going on. Well, they're not telling you what's going on anyway. Hello? Right? Here's what you need to have turned on. We'll see that. Watch this. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know what it means to have a delight in something? It's something that you're passionate about. It's something that you gravitate toward. You know when somebody delights in something, when that subject comes up and their face lights up. Right? It could be anything, you know, but right now we're talking about the Word of God. But it could be anything in your life. You talk to a fisherman about fishing, and Yeah, man, I could talk about that forever. Man, I love that. That's my delight. That's my happy place. Right? And here's where we need to be. I need to make my happy place the only thing that remains true. Are you with me? So we must take the Word of God and make our delight in that. That means, Lord, I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what's happening around me. I want to be blessed, so I'm going to be in Your Word. And I'm not going to listen to anything that contradicts Your Word. That's not a popular place to be if you really think about it. You're kind of swimming upstream a little bit. Watch this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This is really another heavy one, but I've determined in my life after a lot of pondering and a lot of thinking that if it's not day, it's night. And if it's not night, then it's day. So if I'm meditating day and night, that means all the time. Right? I'm thinking about it all the time. What does it mean to meditate? Some of us, when we get a picture of meditation, we go, that's when you light a candle, stare at it, and go, hum. That's a form of meditation, but that's not the meditation that we're talking about here. In the Hebrew, it really means to mutter. Or to go over and over and over and over in your mind. So incredible. To meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. Meditate in the day. Oh, so good. But blessed. I want to be blessed. I need to be delighting in the Lord. I need to be delighting in His Word. I need to be meditating in His Word day and night. I figured out that's constantly. That's awesome. But again, what does that mean? I need to mutter or talk to myself about what the Word says. You know that you have, it's really interesting. The Bible describes it like we have two minds. We have the natural mind. That's the carnal mind, and then we have the spiritual mind. And our spiritual mind is where the thoughts that come from God. Our carnal mind is the thoughts that come from our flesh. I found that the carnal mind oftentimes speaks louder than the spiritual mind. So how do I rest the carnal mind? I can't if I don't have ammunition or thoughts to arrest it with. That's why I need to constantly be muttering the Word of God. And I found that I can't meditate the Word of God for you. And you can't meditate it for me. We're always talking to ourselves about something. Did you know that fear is nothing but meditating on something that could happen? But meditating in the Word of God builds faith. Because it indicates this is who God is, this is what He'll do, this is who He is. So day and night, night and day. What does that mean? I need to have the Bible on all the time? Yeah. But not just on the TV somewhere, or not just hearing it, you know, putting in a podcast or listening to sermons all day, although those are good, and I think that's great information, but where you need to be is having the Word of God, having a verse of Scripture, having several verses of Scripture on your mind all the time. You're putting them inside of you constantly, and you're talking to yourself about them all the time. Right? what's going to happen in this world? And you get a scripture that says, my God said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. And you begin to chew on that, and you begin to meditate on that. You begin to talk to yourself. Grab your back of your collar and say, Bruce, quit thinking that. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the Amplified Version, it says that love believes the best of every person. And if you'll meditate on that to where it becomes a part of you, gossip can't come in anymore. Right? Talebearing can't come in anymore. Thinking badly about people can't come in anymore because love is overriding that. But in order to get there, we've got to be in the place where I'm going to meditate on His Word constantly. I'm going to talk about it all the time. We who are Spirit-filled have another absolute weapon in our arsenal that I don't think that we're using enough. How many know that when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God? How many know that when you're praying in the Spirit, you're building yourself up on the inside? What do I mean praying in the Spirit? Most of you know, but I'm just going to say it again. What it is what it talks about in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. It said they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And in 1 Corinthians, it says that when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit is praying. And you're praying according to the perfect will of God, and you're praying mysteries out in the Spirit. And in Jude it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And yet, we don't do it. We don't do it. I'm telling you, God wants us to get back into the habit of praying in the Spirit. I think we should go down the road and you pass somebody from the church and you look over at them and they're just looks like they're talking to themselves. But you know they're not. They're praying in the Spirit. Glory sakato bafamando sokoto. Why? Because you're getting yourself in a position to hear what God has to say because you want God's opinion drowning out everyone else's opinion. The Bible itself no longer has the authority or the honor in the world that it once had. But we need to demonstrate the power of the Word of God in our lives so that we can be a light to the darkness. Are you with me? Come on. Now look, watch this. It says, but we delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law we meditate day and night. And he shall, or she shall, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's God's best for us. We're not supposed to fail. Let me say that again. We're not supposed to fail. We're supposed to prosper. With what? Everything we do. How do we do that? By meditating in the Word, by doing what the Word says, by reminding ourselves, no, this is what God says. If God puts something on your heart to do, or even you read in the Word of God, you know, where it says, don't worry, I can't do that. I have to worry. I've worried all my life. Now, wait a minute. If He said, don't worry or have anxiety over anything, then I'm able to do that. So what I need to do is I need to replace that thought of I can't do that with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or another translation says, I can do all things because He gives me the strength to be able to do it. Come on. Come on, there is nothing that's put before you that you're not able to overcome if you do it in Christ. But you have to have the Word on it, and you have to be living in the Word. But again, look at this, and we'll go to a couple of other verses. How many want to be blessed?
How many want to prosper in all that you do? How many are tired of falling down all the time and seeming like you're never getting the victory, and it seems like, oh God, I just can't wait to die, because when I die, all this suffering and all this will be over, and I won't stumble anymore, and God, what use is it anyway? And you know, this person doesn't like me anymore, and that person doesn't like me anymore, and I just seems like everything I has anybody ever had a thought like that? Come on, it's time for us to get those thoughts. We do this, we'll be blessed, and everything that we do will prosper. Glory to God. I'm into prospering. Thank you very much. I'm into prospering. Glory to God. When I get up to preach the word, I believe with all of my heart that it has the power to change your life. If I didn't, then what am I doing? You don't need to hear me give a good talk. What you need is to have the power of God in operation in the words that I'm speaking, because the anointing of God is on the Word of God, and the Word of God will produce fruit in your life. But watch this. It says, he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. I don't know. I've seen this, and it's not as prevalent here as it is in the Midwest and other places, but where you know, like in Kansas or Oklahoma or some of those places where there's nothing but dry fields for miles and miles and miles and miles, but every once in a while there'll be a river, and you can see trees by that river. There's no trees anywhere else. There's no greenery anywhere else, but by that river, there's trees and green. Why? Because there's water that's producing life into those trees, and it doesn't matter what's around it, because it's being watered by the water of the Word, and that's what we're supposed to be like. And watch this. If we'll stay planted in the Word of God, the season might not be ripe right now for fruit, but if we continue in it, there's coming a day when we'll see fruit that's produced in its season. Are you with me? Come on, none of us. We had the fruit trees that we planted years ago, and you know, the first year nothing happened. The second year nothing happened because they were being established. But we were patient on them, and pretty soon, at the right time of year, apples came, cherries came, because the fruit will be produced if you nourish the tree. And when you're planted by the water of the Word and you're staying in it and staying with it, it gives the picture of, it doesn't matter what comes at me, I'm going to continue to say what the Word says. I'm going to continue to remind myself what the Word is saying, so that when I'm saying it, when I'm putting it inside of me, there's coming a day when it will produce in me. Come on. Now, let me just ask you this question. Have you ever prayed for somebody and nothing's changed? They've got their will involved in all of that. There's many factors that go along with that. But the reality is, just because you planted seed in the ground and you haven't seen an immediate fruit does not mean that the seed isn't producing. Right? So you need to continue to say the same thing. You need to continue to say the same thing. You can need to pray. If I'm praying for so-and-so, something is happening. Right? And I'm going to believe the best of that person. So if it doesn't happen this year, I'm going to pray for them for next year. And if it doesn't happen next year, I'm going to keep praying for it, because there is a season where this is going to produce in them. Right? I have to believe that's true, because there's a lot of people I've been praying for many years who haven't gotten a revelation of who Jesus is, but I'm not giving up on them because the seed is planted, and I'm going to speak the same thing over them because God's going to do a work in them. Are you with me? I got to quit saying that they're hopeless. There's no way. I got to believe that there's power in the Word of God. I got to believe when I speak the Word of God that they're hearing it and it's breaking fallow ground up to where pretty soon it's going to produce. If I faint not, if I don't back off, if I don't back down. Come on, I want it to prosper. I want to be blessed. But I don't want to be blessed just so that I can say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I want to be blessed so that I can be a blessing. I want to be blessed so that my life shines into somebody else's life. That I, when I pray for somebody, I really honestly believe that the word is true, that when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That I really believe that if they have a demon, I can speak to it in Jesus' name, and that demon's got to go. But I've got to meditate and begin to practice that and live that in order for it to produce that. So even if there's a season where it doesn't seem like my prayers are producing the results that they should, I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit standing. I'm going to be that tree that's right by the river of water and say, I'm not moving. And you know what's happening? You can't see it on the outside, but those roots are going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and getting more nourished and getting stronger. Come on. Because God is working on us. Look at this in verse 4. It says, the ungodly are not so, for they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the right line. I want to be in that righteous. And watch this. Positionally, we all know this, but positionally, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not my righteousness, but I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But I must act righteously. If I want to produce the things in my life that God wants me to have and I want to be blessed, I must act righteously. This one fellow, this is several years ago now, he's Christian, and he had a business, he's a businessman, and he had the fish on his card, right? And I was talking with somebody about this particular business. Oh, you mean so-and-so, the Christian crook. I thought, oh my Lord, he was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but he wasn't acting righteously. And so the fruit he was producing wasn't the fruit of blessing, but the fruit of being cursed by the words of somebody else. Are you hearing where I'm going? We've got to not only say it, but we've got to live it. We've got to say, Lord, I'm making my stand on the Word of God. If you say something, that's what I'm going to do, because I want to be blessed and not cursed. So I'm going to think about your word. I'm going to stay in your word. I'm going to talk about your word. I'm going to continue in your word. And in your word, I'm going to meditate day and night. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to talk about it. If I ask you, when you came in today, what scripture were you thinking about today? Would you have an answer? Right? What scripture is it that you're meditating on day and night? I think Jesus loves me. Somewhere in the Bible it says that. That's no. In our devotions, in our talking to God every day, it's like, Lord, I don't want to just get my scripture reading in and then be done. I want to hear what you want to say to me today, and I want to ponder that all day long. I've said this before, but there's a great man of God that came to him, and they said, you know, they were trying to get the secret to his spiritual power. And they said, well, how long do you spend reading the Word of God? And they were expecting, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day, just reading chapter after chapter, book after book. And he said, I read long enough for the Holy Spirit to speak. And once he speaks, I chew on that for the rest of the day. It might be one verse, it might be 5 chapters. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, see, that's talking about becoming sensitive. But once the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you out of the Word of God, chew on it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Ponder it. Glory to God. Let me give you an example of how that can work. Go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When we were going to Bible school, I had an assignment in the second year. We were in the teacher's group, and the instructor wanted to get this principle of meditating in the Word into us. And says, so for the next 2 weeks, I want you to spend 15 minutes a day meditating on the Word of God. And here's the scripture. He gave us one scripture. And I said, 15 minutes a day for 2 weeks? And you want me to write something? I mean, come on. It's 15 minutes a day and write something every day on the same scripture? That seems a little bit redundant and hard. But I'm telling you, when you start to do it, God can speak to you out of it. And so he gave us one verse and for that time. And then when we handed that assignment, he said, now I want you to pick a verse and to meditate on it every night, 15 minutes. And then journal what the Holy Spirit says. And so the second time, I got this particular verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. I'm going to read it and then we're going to meditate on it. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Come on. That's a good scripture, right? But watch this. This is what I got the first night. I read through it once, and then I went, and God is able. And for 2 nights, I couldn't write anything but what God is able to do. So I had pages of God's ability on journaling, by meditating on the Word, by thinking about it, by allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to me on God is able. I began to write it down. I began to think about it while I was at work at night, that God is able. And watch this. If you get that on the inside of you, then when you face something that seems to be impossible, you come back and God is able to make all grace abound to you, to me. God, you're able to make all grace abound to me. You know, all grace is a lot of grace. Grace indicates God's desire to give us something that we don't deserve. And God is able to make all grace. He's able to give me things that I don't deserve. That I, having all sufficiency, may be able to give unto every good work. So I turned that assignment, and after the next week or 2 weeks, I forget how long it was, but I had pages written down that I thought, how am I going to get through 15 minutes at night? But what I was doing is I was meditating on, I was muttering, I was talking about, I was letting the Holy Spirit talk to me out of the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God and something starts to jump out at you, begin to talk about it, begin to think about it, begin to dissect it. Be said, God, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And begin to meditate on, begin to talk to yourself about it, begin to do certain things. How many want to be blessed? Come on, I want to be blessed. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talked to us about being blessed. Well, wait a minute. We'll hold off on that. Go to Genesis chapter 1 first. Genesis chapter 1. Do you believe that God wants you to be blessed? Do you believe that it's God's will for mankind in general to be blessed, and you specifically to be blessed? I believe that with all my heart. In fact, God's blessing is how we produce in the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. God's blessing is how we produce in the kingdom of God. Look at chapter 1 and go first of all to verse 22. Genesis 1 and verse 22. It's harder to get the Bible to unstick. Hallelujah. What's it say? It says, and God blessed them. And God blessed them. Everybody say that. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. And said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. God blessed them, and he said something. Go to verse 28. Well, let's start verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You know, he hasn't changed his mind. I just, you know, just throwing that in. There's not 10 genders. There's not 20. There's two, male and female. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. He hasn't changed his mind. Hallelujah. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. God's blessed us, but we must be fruitful and multiply. In other words, blessing isn't just going to come to us, you know, like we're standing and humming and expecting this blessing to come on us and then us do anything with it. But what we have to do is understand that we're already blessed and start to walk in that blessing and then watch God multiply that in the fruit that it produces. Let me give you an example. I believe that God wants to give all grace to us so that we can have everything that we need to bless everybody else. And so many of us have said, well, Lord, you know, if I won the lottery, I'd give this away. I'd do that. And the Lord's saying, well, what's in your hand? Well, Lord, I only have a dollar. Well, how about giving a quarter away? Are you seeing what I'm saying? You've already blessed, but what are you doing with what you're blessed with? Well, Lord, I don't have any money. Well, do you have a good word to say to somebody? Right? Lord, I can't. I don't have anything, but you're asking me to bake them some cookies? I can do that. What you're doing is you're saying, I've been blessed with the ability to do something. And I'm taking that blessing and I'm sowing it into the ground. And when I do my action, it will be multiplied. And more will come back to me so that I can give more the next time and more the next time and more the next time and more next time. Right? Not so I can get a bunch of things, but so that I can be used by God to bless other people. But His will is for us, for you, for me, just like it was right here. His will for mankind is to bless them so that they can multiply. He hasn't changed. He's the same tonight for you and for me. All right, now go to Matthew. You can look at Genesis chapter 5 if you want to write that down. But it's again, he says to mankind, it's my will for you to be fruitful and to multiply. Be fruitful. You're blessed already. Be fruitful and multiply. And what I want to tell you tonight, that he's already blessed you. But what are you doing with the blessing that he's already put in you? If you want it to grow, you have to give it away. Yeah, but what am I blessed with? You're here, right? You know, sometimes all you need to do is smile every once in a while. How many know that God loves you? Have you been blessed with the love of God? Okay, three out of... Okay, well, watch, we're blessed with the love of God. How hard is it to say to somebody else, God loves you? Yeah, but what do they think? It doesn't matter what they think. If you'll give away what God's blessed you with, it will produce. It will multiply. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I need the world to know that I'm blessed. I need when my family comes and something good happens to me, I need to say, you know, I'm blessed. God has been good to Bruce. Can I tell you a story as you're turning to Matthew chapter 5, and I am. One day I was praying, and most of you know that I'm a golfer. I like to golf. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't need them, but I'd really like to have a new set of golf clubs. Now, you might think that's silly, and it is kind of. But I said, Lord, I'd really like to have a new set of golf clubs. And within 3 days, I think it was 3 days, somebody came into my office and said, God told me to bring this, and this is for you. This isn't for anybody else. This isn't for the church. This is for you. And you know, he gave me a check that was enough to buy a set of golf clubs. Right? Now watch, that's part of the story. But I went golfing with my brothers. I said, see my new clubs? God gave me those. And I told them the story of how God blessed me. Right? So the story is producing even. I was golfing with my brother, one of the brothers that I told that to, a month, 2 months later, and we were golfing with somebody new. He says, hey, you see those clubs? He said, I didn't say, he said. Come on. How many want to be blessed? But our blessing is to produce something in somebody else and in our own lives. Watch this in verse 3. You all know this. Sermon on the Mount. If we want to be blessed, if we want to be happy, if we want to be joyful. And let me try to get this up and read this. Actually, Mike, could you put this up in the Classic Amplified? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Come on. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But watch this. Look at this in the Amplified, because I wanted you to get this. Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired. So when you're thinking about being blessed, you're spiritually prosperous. And you're happy. And you're to be admired. What does that mean? God wants to use us as an example to others to say, you know what? It pays to serve Jesus. It's not something that's a drudgery to serve Jesus. Come on, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But when am I blessed? I'm blessed when I'm poor in spirit. What does that mean? When I understand in myself there's no good thing, but I'm not coming to God based on who I am. I'm coming to God and who Jesus is. Right? And really, for somebody to get saved, they need to know that they need a Savior. Humility is the beginning of blessing. When you understand it's not me, it's nothing I can do to deserve it. I'm not all that, but I am in the one who is all that. When I recognize that, when I walk in that place of humility, I can understand that He is my blessing. Come on. Whew. Glory to God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word meek is not weak. The word meek here doesn't mean weakness. It means teachable. Blessed are those that are teachable, for they'll inherit the earth. What does that mean? That means this: if I stay open to the Holy Spirit correcting me, changing me, showing me who I am, then I'll inherit the earth. Right? Watch this. I love it. I think it's, I'm not sure which one of these verses it's in. I think it's the Message Bible. It says, blessed are you when you come to the end of your rope, because when you're at the end of your rope, there he is. What does that mean? That means if I want to be blessed, I have to be completely dependent upon him. And not only that, know that he's at the end of my rope. When I can't do it anymore, and all of us have felt that, I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. It's not fair. God, why? Blah, 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 blah. Spewing all that off. We've got to come to the end of that and say, no. I'm blessed because he's with me. I may not be able to do this on my own, but I'm not on my own. Glory to God. You know, there are times where you just get weary and you go, God, am I doing any good at all? And the reality is, it doesn't matter what you feel or what you see. What matters is, Lord, is this what you've asked me to do? And if this is what you've asked me to do, I'm just going to keep doing it because I'm blessed in doing it and it's producing in the kingdom of God. Is this helping anybody tonight? It's helping me. Come on. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How many need mercy? Well, you want to get more mercy? Give it away. I'm already blessed because the mercy of God is over my life. Again, we talked about grace. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Right? Mercy. So, mercy is, if I want more mercy, I'm blessed when I don't hold somebody's feet to the fire when it's in my ability to give them mercy. How many know some people can be not nice? Some people can be jerks, right? None of it in this room, but there are people who can be jerks. Well, it's not that you're condoning their behavior, but what you're saying is, I'm going to give you grace and mercy because I've gotten that grace and mercy. And in doing that, I'll be blessed, but they'll be blessed because of my being blessed. You get anything tonight? One more scripture. I got to close. So one more scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So in closing this out, the first thing that you got to remember is if you want to be blessed, you've got to be standing in the Word of God. You've got to be talking the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God as your source and final authority. CNN isn't. Fox News isn't. Your friends aren't. YouTube isn't. And really, honestly, it's not what somebody else is telling me about the Word of God. What the Word of God says is my final authority. I don't have time to explain that, but it's like, Lord, if I read in your Word something, that's what's going to be my final authority, period. If you said to love the unlovely, that's what I'm going to do. If you said to forgive, that's what I'm going to do. I might have good Christian friends who say, listen, God's all right if you do something mean to. I mean, no. I'm going to do what the Word of God says. But look at in verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So going back to, and we'll go back to where we started, it's meditating in the law day and night. What you need to do is begin to speak to yourself about the spiritual blessings that God has already bestowed upon you. And we could go in, and we might next week. Actually, Janine's preaching next week. But watch this. We need to begin to tell ourselves, I have the wisdom of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. He shall supply all of my needs according to His. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I've already been blessed with these things. I'm already seated with Him in heavenly places. When I pray and use the name of Jesus, it's just like He's praying. Come on. I have a measure of faith. He's given me faith. I don't need to ask for it or I need to develop it. But God, I'm just speaking over myself what You've said rather than what I feel or what somebody else is giving me the wrong information of. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You, Lord, that Your word is working in us. God, I'm thanking You right now for a renewing of our heart to pursue You like we've never pursued You in the past. Father, I thank You, Father, for putting us back into a place where Your word is our final authority. All of those who are listening online, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you know the drill. Today is the day. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I know that I'm not good enough to be in Your presence. I need a Savior. And Jesus paid the price for my sins. So I believe in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and that God You've raised Him from the dead. If you said that, you'll be saved. But if you said that and you meant that, tell somebody else about it. Call me, call somebody in the church, come to church and be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. Amen.